The Ramban asks a number of questions, and it's fundamental and something that we should really think about. Actually, come closer if you can, because we're all sitting around here. Oh. Okay. The Ramban gave this drasha. Apparently, the historians debate whether it was 2 years before he died or possibly 3 years before he died, because the Ramban gave this drasha in the city of Akko. Now, the Ramban only lived in Eretz Yisrael for the last 3 years of his life. So, the historians believe it wasn't the last year of his life, but it was either a year before that or 2 years before that. The drasha is massive. I can't even begin to imagine how the tzibur would have sat through such a drasha. You know, in Mevaseret, where I served as Rosh Hashiva, the rule of thumb was, like, you know, concentration lasts for maximum 45 minutes, you know, an hour if you really push it. There's no way the Ramban could have given this drasha in 1 hour. But I suppose what happened was that either he gave this drasha half on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, half on the second. Possibly these are notes of his, and maybe he didn't even give over the whole thing. You know, he polished it up for purposes of posterity. And there are many, many different dimensions to this drasha. There are halachic dimensions, which I don't know if we'll get to tonight, in which he talks about which shofar can be used, and a lot of chidushim of the Ramban about what shofar is kosher to use. And then there are parshanut dimensions, in which the Ramban is very careful about reading the pasuk. You'll see, he begins the drasha with a pasuk. This is the pasuk from Parshas Emor, which says, "Daber el bnei Yisrael leimor v'chodesh hashvi'i." And here the Ramban is going to spend a great deal of time trying to explain why the month of Tishrei, as we know it, is called by the Torah Chodesh Hashvi'i, because from Briyas Olam it's the first month. Be'echad lachodesh yelachem shabboson zichron shrua mikra kodesh. The Torah doesn't say anything about Yom HaDin. We know and we identify Rosh Hashanah with Yom HaDin. This is going to bother the Ramban. Nor does the Torah identify Shabboson with the other Yomim Tovim, possibly the exception of Sukkot, but certainly not in the case of Pesach or in the case of Shavuos. So that now Rosh Hashanah becomes your paradigm of a yontif that has the mitzvah of Shabboson, and the Ramban wants to know, what does Shabboson mean? Is it the 39 malachas? Is it less than 39? Is the Torah excluding something that's beyond the malachas? Maybe it's not even a malacha. And if so, is that considered a los aser, or is it considered an essay? How do we view Shabboson? You know, sometimes the Torah formulates a los aser as an essay, like the Nisan es Nachshu Sechem Yom Kippur, which is really a los aser. And that's called the Nisar Aser. The Ramban also wants to know what Zichron means, and what Zichron Trua. And then Zichron Trua seems to underlie or produce Mikra Kodesh, the sanctity of the dead. So what's this all about? That's on a parshanut level. And then the Ramban, on a third level, and this is perhaps the most challenging for us, the most difficult for us, on a level of sod, of philosophy, the Ramban wants to understand, what is the philosophy of the day? So the first thing that I want to talk to you about in this drasha of the Ramban is a very sharp machlokes between the Ramban and Rashi. Ramban quotes Rashi and takes very strong opposition to Rashi in terms of what the word zichron shua mean. So I don't know exactly how it's broken up into paragraphs in your edition. I have the Chevelle edition of the Ramban. But tell me if you find a paragraph that starts Achshav Nefarej Zichron Trua. Do you have that? It should be towards the end of your pages. Maybe it's not there. Because again, this is a massive drusha, so I couldn't photocopy everything.
Achshav?
Yeah, do you have a paragraph that starts no. Achshav?
No.
No.
Oh, Achshav.
Achshav.
No.
All right. It could be it's here, but it's broken down a little bit differently. In any event, listen carefully. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and Rashi says that what is Zichron Shrua? Rashi says, Kosav Rashi v'pirusho b'chumash, Zichron Shrua psuke zichronos u'psuke shofros.
I think it's here.
You do have it?
Those words, Zichron Shrua psuke
zichronos. Page 1?
Okay.
Page 1.
Oh, page 1. So that's in his Pirush al Torah. He also quotes Rashi. Okay, then. So the Ramban takes sharp, what? Sharp opposition. He says, "Im Kain, if Rashi is correct, Sarich Hayashi Avi Gam Psuke Malchios Min HaMedrash." In other words, if Chazal understood that Zichron Shrua, the concept of Zichron, which means not blowing the shofar, but somehow remembering the shofar, is referring to the psukim that we recite in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, then why does Rashi mention only A and B and not C? He mentions the psukim of Zichronos and the psukim of Shofros, and he completely omits the psukim of Malchios. The Ramban says that there's no difference between the three. They're all equal. The triumvirate. It's a group, and we need all three. And the Ramban's language is Shelo Yitachen b'shum inyan sheyazkir hakatuv psukei zichronot v'shofarot v'lo yazkir malchiyot. It's impossible to drop malchiyos. V'rabo seinu kvar dorshu es kulam miposuk v'hoi lechem l'zikaron lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. And why does the Torah say Ani Hashem Elokeichem? And Ani Hashem Elokeichem teaches you that whenever you recite Zichronos, you have to recite Malchios. So I would like to take the Ramban's argument against Rashi on a deeper level and try to really reveal what the Ramban is bothered by. True, on a superficial level, the Ramban's argument is that whenever you see Zichronos and Shofros, it's always got to be with Malchios. The three go together. And therefore Rashi is guilty of dropping Malchios. But I think that the Ramban might be saying something which is philosophically important. And if the Ramban is not saying it, then we're saying it. I hope the Ramban means it. And that is that if you had to put together in order of sequence which of the three takes priority, which would be the most important of the three, what would be your answer?
Malchios.
There's no question that Malchios supersedes Zichronos and Shofros in its centrality. And the proof of the pudding is that every single bracha, every chasima, whenever we finish benching on Rosh Hashanah, when we finish kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, when we finish any davening on Rosh Hashanah, it always starts Baruch Ata Hashem Melech al kol haaretz. Melech al kol haaretz defines the day itself. To speak about Zichronos, that God should remember us, to speak about Shofros, that God will blow the shofar, is very important, but it undermines the key significance of what the day is all about. This is the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Of course, you'll ask me, well, isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Melech the whole year round, not just on Rosh Hashanah? And that's true. Certainly God is the King of the universe the whole year. And that's why every bracha starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. And a bracha without Malchus is not a bracha. But even though Malchios exists the entire year, there's one day out of the year in which that Malchios is revealed. It's palpable. It's something that expresses itself. And we'll see it's going to express itself in Zichronos and in Shofros. But the primary concept, the foundation, the Evan HaPinah, the Evan HaYisod, on which all of Rosh Hashanah is built, is Malchus, is the fact that Hashem is Melech. That's why the Kedushas Hashem, which is the third bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, starting with Rosh Hashanah, is changed from Baruch Ata Hashem Hakel HaKadosh to Melech HaKadosh. Because what Rosh Hashanah is all about, and Rashi is guilty here according to the Ramban for dropping the ball, it's all about Malchus.
It's more than Malchus. You said one part of it, Melech HaKadosh, but we also Melech HaMishpat. You said Melech before you said, you changed the Mishpat aspect. You didn't change the Melech aspect, and that bracha also had Melech there. So, Melech.
You mean instead of Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, it's Melech HaMishpat? Is that what you're referring to?
So, Melech was there before, and you still changed it because you wanted to
emphasize.
Right. Not Melech. Melech was there anyway.
But look what you did. You said HaMelech.
But I'm saying, by
change it to HaMelech instead of Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, it's HaMelech.
In other words, Melech and HaMelech were the same. We don't change. We only have one Melech. It's never HaMelech and Melech.
Making the statement now.
Right, but HaMelech HaMishpat, meaning that this dimension of Mishpat, of judgment, is the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's.
When you say Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh, that's what he's defining.
That's the Torah. The Torah says Zichron.
So I'm happy to say that Shabbos and Zichron Truah has anything to do with Shofar.
No, that's okay with the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't have any objection to that. But to say that Zichron Truah drops Malchus, that the Ramban can't tolerate, because any concept of Zichron and any concept of Truah is all predicated, is an expression of Malchus, because the essence of the day is Malchus. In fact, I want to tell you something that's very important. The Chai Odom wrote a psak in which somebody asked him, I forgot to say Melech al kol ha'aretz, and instead I said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam B'yom HaZikaron HaZeh. He left out Melech al kol ha'aretz, and instead he said Mekadish Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadish Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. So the Chai Odom said he was Yotze. As long as he said Mekadish Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron, he was Yotze, because the name of the day is Yom HaZikaron. So my Rebbe reported to us that Reb Chaim disagreed very sharply with the Chai Odom, because he held that if you drop Melech al kol ha'aretz, then you can't call it a Yom HaZikaron. It's meaningless. The Yom HaZikaron is only as a result of the Malchus of Hashem. Now, here's the paradox. Hashem is the Melech the whole year round. So what does it mean to say Melech al kol ha'aretz on this day?
Making him our Melech, and Melech without an Am.
We have to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know the famous story of the Chabadnikim, that you know that they would gather together the children and ask them, what do we do with the shofar? And the children would say, we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We make HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Melech. In other words, God is a king, essentially. He's the king of the universe. He's the master of the universe. He's the creator. The Rambam says the beginning of Yesod HaTorah, everything exists only because Hashem wills it to exist. There is no independent existence independent of God. So all that is included in Malchus Hashem. And because God created the world, He owns the world, and we can only enjoy this world when the Melech says we're allowed to. So for example, the famous Gemara about Birchas Hanen. It says, Lashem Ha'aretz Umolo. Everything belongs to God. And yet it says, Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So the Gemara answers, Kan Kodem Brocha, Kan Li'achar Brocha. That basically what God says is, you have to pay me, so to speak, in order to enjoy the benefits of this world. I own this world, God says. You want to enjoy it? Pay me something. What's the payment of Brocha? The Brocha is the pigeon. It's like everything is hegdish. Right? Kol Hanen Me'olam Hazeh Lo Brocha. It's me'ila. It's like misappropriating hegdish. Lashem aretzimol. Lashem is a lashon hegdish. Everything belongs to God. He allows me to partake of it, to enjoy it, but only under certain conditions. What we have to do is be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to acknowledge God. The essence of the day is kabolas o malchus shamayim. But it's more than that. The malchus of Hashem on this day of Rosh Hashanah is the Malchus for all of the universe, for all of mankind. But the question is, does mankind accept God as Melech? on this day, there's a certain expression, a certain movement towards Hashem becoming the Melech. So there's a paradox. Is God the Melech or is he not the Melech? Well, essentially he is the Melech. But has he been accepted as the king? Have his subjects acknowledged him as the king? Or are they rebelling against him? And the answer is that if you go throughout the countries of the world, and what's going on in this century and in many centuries is a rebellion against God. Man wants to be his own king. I don't want to get rules from without. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm the boss of my own life. I want autonomy in the moral sphere, and I'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. So man has a natural tendency to rebel and cast off of himself the yoke of God's malchus. On this day, we get a little bit of a gilui, it's almost a revelation, a little bit of something of what could be and what will be. When we recite malchus, what we're saying is, yes, God, you are the melech. And we stand in front of the king, we accept his malchus, and he remembers us. This leads us to zichronos, that God has created man so that man would accept the malchus of
nothing,
Hashem.
Nothing.
You know, it's one of the three bins, you know. So that we will accept the malchus. Hashem actually gives significance to humble man who knights God, incarnates him as king. That's the paradox. I never would have said such a thing. Intuitively, it makes no sense. Does the king of the universe need this little person who's basically here today and gone tomorrow to make him, with a capital H, the king? But paradoxically, that's the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. That's why Jews, especially in America, have an easy time with Sukkot, with Pesach, with Shavuos. You know, they're historical realities that, you know, that we commemorate on those days. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, people don't understand the day because they can't comprehend and grasp the concept of Malchus. Hashem remembers us. Ein shichol lefnei kisei chodecha. He remembers the bris. And the very fact that God remembers us, says the Ramban, that's a great thing. When God judges a person, or when any king judges a person, it means that person has a certain significance. He stands in front of the king. Our ability to stand in front of the king, kol b'nei maron, the Mishnah says, over l'fanav, kol b'nei olam hazeh, over l'fanav k'b'nei maron, because we have significance. Vat chasrei ma'at melokim, man is great. Man stands in front of God on judgment. Shofros means that the shofar represents, on the one hand, God revealing himself. When God reveals himself, he reveals himself with the sound of the shofar, just like at Matan Torah. And shofar also represents the people, the subjects in the community who are blowing as part of this coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we recite Malchus, we recite Zichronos, we declare that we're subjects of God, we acknowledge Him as King, we accept the judgment upon ourselves, we're standing close in front of God the King, being judged, being scrutinized, He's remembering the bris with Chesed, with Rachmanus, and then we do this whole process with the Shofar. And here the Ramban says something amazing. And now I want you to turn, if you can, to the Ramban. Again, there should be a paragraph here. Vehine lo nisparish betorah hatrua zos. Do you have that?
Middle
of page 4? He says, oh, if you have that on the middle of page 4, then
the top of it was the...
Then the top was the achshav nefarish. Okay, good. He says, Vehine lo nisparish betorah hatrua hazos bametiye. The Torah says, blow a trua. Some sort of a blast. But with what? In the shofar, or the chatzotzros, with trumpets, v'chein. There's another mystique over here about Rosh Hashanah. Lo piresh tama mitzvah, zos loma trua. Okay, so it's a day of trua, but why? What's the purpose of the trua? V'lo loma nitztarech zikaron lefnei Hashem b'yom hazeh. Yosef Misharyom? Why do we need to be remembered on this day more than other days? And finally, V'lama Yitzaveh Li Yosef Mikra Kodesh. In other words, the Rabban is, I think, is hinting that if we can answer the following questions, if we can know what the Truah is, and if we can know what the goal of the Truah is, and if we can know what Zikaron is, then we'll understand Mikra Kodesh, meaning why this is a day of sanctity. What's the Yitzumo Shel Yom? What's the Kedush Sayom? And then the Ramban presents a thesis. He says, Abul Mipnei Shekara Kosev Yom HaZikaron, when the Torah calls this day a day of remembrance, Mipnei Shehu Bechadsho Shel Yom HaKippurim Berosh HaKodesh. You see, Berosh, what?
Rosh Hashanah.
You have Rosh Hashanah?
It
should be Rosh HaKodesh, it should be. Ah. If you can make that correction. He says, the Ramban is making a radical move over here. He's saying, we think of this day as the head, or the first day of the entire year. Oh no. What does it mean? It's the first day of the month of Yom Kippur. Yirmos Shebo Yedin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The remez here, in calling Rosh Hashanah the day that comes 10 days preceding Yom Kippur, is that this is a day of judgment. So the Ramban sees Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as juxtaposed one before the other. Kibam, on this day of judgment, Yodin Amim B'Rosh Hashanah Yizkar Yitzura V'yeshev L'kisei Shofei Tzedek. This is a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh. Does he tell you where it is?
Not here.
Tehillim Perik, can't see it. I think it says Perik Mem. The Achrechein Baseres Hayomim Yisol LePesha Adovi Chaper Al Hashov. In other words, the Zikaron here is meant to connect us from the first day of the month, which is the day of judgment, to the 10th day of the month, which is the day of Kapara, when Hashem lifts the iniquities of Klal Yisrael. Ki HaZikaron Yomru Oso Aksuvim Al Adin B'Nishpat. Wherever you find the word Zikaron, it's always in the context of Mishpat. A person is remembered, or a nation is remembered for judgment. And now, do you have a paragraph that starts Vihine? A few lines down. Vihine nastalonu ha-Torah ha-inyan hazeh beremes. The Torah is not explicit about judgment. For hayanoda b'Yisrael. But it was known to Israel, A, mipi ha-Nevi'im, through the prophets, and B, the Avos Kedoshim Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have a Mesorah, we have a tradition. Vadayin, even to this day, Hubiyodeinu, we still have this tradition, an unbroken transmission. Kabbalah, Umefursam B'Talmud, and it was publicized in the Gemara. Umisha Zachal Lios Mekubal B'Sisrei HaTorah. Now he's getting on to the next level of seeing some of the secrets of the Torah. Yireh ha'inyan yosef mefurish b'kasav. He says, by studying Sisrei HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah, you'll be able to understand the psukim better. V'loshen ha'Torah yosef mevur bo. And the language that the Torah employs is much clearer. Ki atrua hi sha'om del avoseinu v'lom. That sounds like Leil HaPesach. Hi sha'om del avoseinu v'lom. But now it's the trua. Got to fit it into the song. Ukvo shedemar ashrei ha'om yodei trua. Blessed or fortunate is the nation that understands the trua. The Ramban, whenever he sees the word yodei, he assumes it means a kind of a dibuk, a dveikus. We know how to connect with the trua and use it for our purposes. And the Ramban goes on to show many psukim which speak about the trua. And the true is always something that's related to din, to mishpat. For example, the judgment against the nations when Yoshua goes in to conquer Eretz Yisrael and destroy the nations, so we blow a trua, and that brings down the wall of Yericho. Or for example, in Masa'ot, when the people of Israel travel through the desert, it says there that they blew a trua. And and this was able to destroy our enemies. Ulefisha hayaz tchilas kibush arts, to conquer the nations and destroy them. Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu shetia midas hadin mesucha kenegdom. Somehow the Jewish people are able to use the din. In other words, the din is in a context in which it works on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He says that Unkelus, whenever he sees the word trua, he connects it with the shechina of the melech, of the king. It's a revelation of divinity, of the divine attribute of justice. And I'm skipping a little bit here because I want to get to the punchline. The Amar Yom Trua Yelachem. So here's a combination of Yom and Trua. Now, in the Kabbalistic writings, the word Yom is symbolic not of din, of justice, but the opposite of justice, of mercy. Day is always identified with Rachamim. So the Torah calls it Yom Trua. Ki Hayom Yelanu. Interesting. The din, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, is for our benefit. So therefore, even though it's Midas HaDin that's being revealed here, by connecting with the Midas HaDin, according to the Ramban, we gain something, we benefit something, we get the Yom, meaning the Rachamim. V'lo hutzach lahazkir shofar, the Torah did not have to specify that the Trua is with the shofar. Ki ha-shofar remez bayom v'ha-trua bo. So somehow the shofar is symbolic of using the din for mercy, for our purposes. And the Ramban says, "V'hine pirush hakosuk ki hu yom din birachamim." So, in other words, essentially, it's a day of judgment, but the judgment is enveloped by din, the atmosphere or the ambiance which surrounds the din is rachamim. The Ramban goes on to say that Yom HaKippurim, 10 days later, is a day of rachamim bidin. In other words, there it's essentially a day of rachamim. What takes us from din to rachamim, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, are the 10 days of Yemei Atshuva, which Ramban says is a remnant to the Esser Sfiros. So somehow the entire universe somehow goes through this transformation together with us as we traverse the distance between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or din and rachamim. So that if we understand correctly here, what the Ramban is driving at is that the Kedusha Sayom, the sanctity of the day, the Mikra Kodesh element, is a result of the fact that this is a day of din, that this is a day of blowing the shofar, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, because again, according to Ramban, Malchus is essential. And when we stand in front of the Ribono Shel Olam in din, we somehow merit rachamim. We get this mercy. And that's the process of Rosh Hashanah. Now, Chazal say the tshuva itself is a result of the midah of rachamim. Because when you think about it, if a man committed a crime, that's irreversible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created through his midah of rachamim tshuva, and gave man the power of changing himself. And I once heard from my Rebbe, why is it that we recite Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur? There are many answers to this question, but he had his own take on it. He wanted to suggest that there's one Avera where halachically you can undo the Avera as if it was never done. And that's the Parsha of Hataras Nedarim. That a Neder, we have the power through Pesach to go in front of the Chacham and say, we wish we never did the Neder. Had we realized that, we never would have done it. And through the power of Hataras Nedarim, he's Oker Neder Meikaro. Retroactively, it was no Neder. So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest that on Kol Nidre night, we say to the Ribono Shel Olam, we wish that we had the power to undo the past. But we can't do so. But you've given us one facility, one vehicle, with regard to one particular Avera, the ability to do so. Now, by being Matir Neder, what we're saying to the Ribono Shel Olam is, this is what we'd like to do with all our sins. What is shofar? So we said before that shofar is the vehicle to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's deeper than that. Shofar is going to take that Gilui, that revelation of Shekhinah, of the day of Din, of the day of Malchus Hashem, and bring it to the public, and bring us a step closer to the day which we talk about over and over again, Moshe. For Hoya Bayomo Yitoka the Shofar Gadol, the Olamashim the Eretz Ashur, the Nidach the Eretz Yitzrayim, the Omar Kol Hashem Neshama Bapo, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. So what does it mean, Kol Hashem Neshama Bapo? It's a very fantastical dream that every single human being that has the breath of neshama, of the divine spark in him, the divine spark of life, every individual, doesn't matter what race he's from, what color, what language he speaks, autistic, non-autistic, it doesn't matter, every human being will declare the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the view for the future redemption, for the Achris HaYomim, the eschatological view of Judaism. But how will Malchus come about? So Malchus, when we recite Malchus, what we're saying is Yomar Kol Hashem Neshama Bapo. It's a great faith in man. Man has the ability. We look at man and we see debauchery and we see bestiality, we see ignorance and we see hatred and we see wars and disease, and it's terrible what goes on. Forget about the scandals, you know, the white collar. That's nothing compared to the murder that goes on. I mean, even in Africa, I mean, you have millions of Hutsis killing Tutsis and nobody makes a big deal of that. But the world is really full of evil. Do we have faith in man? Will man come to the brink of reality, of acknowledging God's existence, that there is one king for all man, and he is the creator, and he is the divine lawgiver, and his moral rules have to be followed, have to be accepted? Does man have the capacity to do so? And comes along Malchus and declares, yes, there will be a day, a glorious day, when all of mankind will appreciate God as king, recognize him, and coronate him as the Melech. So that little humble shofar that we're blowing in our small little shtiebel, even if there are 10 people in the shul, represents the ultimate belief in Malchus Hashem. And therefore, if you read shofros, all the psukim of shofros, from beginning to end, are all describing the desire, the yearning, the craving of man to recreate that shofar of Matan Torah when the whole world was silent and God revealed himself. And therefore we're praying through the Malchios and the Zichronos and the Shofars for the day in which there'll be the ultimate chesed and the ultimate revelation. What we have today is just a little bit, but we have to feel it. That's the obligation that the Ramban wants to convey to us. Zichron Shrua means that for each and every one of us to enjoy, to experience the sanctity of the day, the Mikra Kodesh, the Ramban says, first we have to go back to understand what Zichron is. That Zichron means we stand in judgment. That Zichron means God remembers us. That's Kivnei Marom over Lefanu. Kivnei Marom was standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. My friends, are you with me on this? I mean, do you comprehend this? It's mind-boggling. Every single human being is standing in front of the Melech Malchei Malchut, single file for judgment. Whether man acknowledges God or not, and understands and appreciates that God is king, well, that's a subjective question. And even those who are religious and pious and go to shul on Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure if they're all equal on this. I'm not sure if every single pious Jew really, really feels that he's being scrutinized by the King of Kings, by Melech Malchei Amlochim.
Scary.
It's very scary, but Melech Malchei Amlochim. And do you hear the term? You know, there are kings, and there are Melech Malchei Amlochim. You know, there's a king, and then on top of the king there's another king, and then there's another king, a superpower. And God is on top of all the superpowers. He's Melech Malchei Amlochim. But yet, that experience of being aware of the Malchus Hashem gives us the beginning of the process of tshuva. There's no formal tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, but awareness of the fact that I'm standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, asking Hashem to be Zocher Es HaBris, to remember us, Litova, because of the bris that he has, and then to blow the shofar and be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that perhaps is the most profound act of tshuva that we can imagine. And no, it doesn't surprise me that the Ramban says that Rosh Hashanah propels us to Yom HaKippurim. The ultimate goal is the chesed of Yom HaKippurim of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. But to get to Lifnei Hashem Titaru, we have to start with Din. And therefore it's fascinating to me that the Ramban presents Rosh Hashanah and its sanctity not in the context of the entire year, not with the emphasis on the creation process. True, the Ramban holds that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah, but that already comes in secondary. That doesn't define the Kedushas Hayom. What defines the Kedushas Hayom, according to Ramban, is this is Rosh Chodesh of the month of Yom Kippur. So this entire month called Tishrei revolves around the Chesed, the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kapora, of the Yom HaKapora, of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, and Rosh Hashanah is the kickoff that begins this process to project us from the Yom HaDin through the Aser Yisrael Tshuva to Yom HaKippur. In Mirtz Hashem next time, what I want to do is talk about some other dimensions of Rosh Hashanah that the Ramban emphasizes. I don't think we have time tonight, but I would like to talk about what Shabboson means according to the Ramban, a very fascinating insight of the Ramban. And then I want to talk about Shofar, and what is the Shofar, and what does it look like, and how does it achieve its goal? So Bli Neder, again, this rush is hours and hours of work, but we'll try to at least highlight some of the main points. And I want to end by thanking everyone for coming. And this is a kind of ke'em, I mean, not really, but a Chanukah Sabayis, the first time that I have a shiur in the house. And Hashem should be mezakeh me that I should, and my wife and I should have many occasions to have people come in the house for mitzvahs, for chesed, and that we should all be zocheh to really sense what the Yom HaDin is about with the Kedushas Hayom, to the extent in which we experience the Kedushas Hayom, to that extent, we'll be zocheh to the tshuva and the kapara of Lifnei Hashem Titaru on Yom HaKippur.